Well, David went from being broke and facing real adversity to building a multi-million dollar real estate portfolio without using a dime of his own money.
I almost did. I've told you, I've counted myself out many times before I've ever actually did it, but I wanted this one so badly. I was like,
Welcome to another episode of Real Estate Development Land to Legacy. Today's guest is David Webb. He's known as No Money Millionaire, which sounded super attractive to me when I read that. I'm like, wait, what does that mean? Well, David went from being broke and facing real adversity to building a multi-million dollar real estate portfolio without using a dime of his own money. So that piqued my interest, and I'm sure a lot of real estate investors, developers, wannabe investors and wannabe developers would love to hear your story, David. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Eugene. Thanks for having me.
So I guess I have to start, even though personally I hate the origin style questions just because they're so overused, and I'm sure you've answered that how did you get there question so many times, but I don't think we can bypass it because we need to have that context. What was life like at the rock bottom? How did it happen?
I was born and I grew up in Detroit, in an inner city. I went to the Detroit public school system, single mother, raised on welfare and all of that. I didn't know what my path was going to be. Growing up in the inner city there, I didn't know anybody that even owned a home, let alone passive income or anything of that nature. And, I've stated before, they tell you, like, now I try to teach people to, you want to learn to have your money work for you. Well, growing up where I grew up, that they don't teach you that. They teach you the opposite. They want you to go work hard for your money and, and try to find a, a factory job or something you can retire from. And that just wasn't for me. So I went the sales route. I came up in a sales. Luckily for me, I had somebody that wanted to train me. I had a friend and I knew he made good money. And so I used to tease him or joke with him. And I'm like, man, I want to work with you. He'd come out to my job sometimes when he was in my area and just hang out for a little while. He was an appointment setter. I didn't really know what he did. I didn't know what any of that was, but he was an appointment setter. He managed the people who would canvass the neighborhoods. And so he'd have time to hang out with me, but I knew he made a lot more money than me. And I was like, I want your job. And finally he came back. He said, yeah, I spoke to the owner and yeah, you can work with us. I said, great. I'm doing what you're doing. He said, no, we're going to make you a salesman. And I said, well, do they make any money? And he said, well, no, they make more money. So luckily for me that guy really pulled me up under his wing, and he was an amazing mentor, great teacher. But, I still didn't know my knack. I didn't know what I was going to do. I went from different sales jobs to sales jobs, and I've been evicted over 15 times. I think I stopped counting at like 15. And, my son, I was a single parent, and my son, we moved my son out of Detroit. We went out to California. He was mad at me too. And I took him away from his, any of the family we had and his friends. And we moved at 10 and all the way till 18, he was like, I'm going back to Detroit as soon as I can. And he was angry. And I told him, one day you'll thank me, kid. And I said, one day you'll thank me when you get to realize. But luckily for me, he would go back to Detroit over the summer because I moved to the desert in California. And when I first moved out there, it was still seasonal during the summer. Places would shut down, and being in sales and my sales, I always did commission only. I never had a base plus commission. Everything I did was commission only. And so during the summer, there wasn't any work, man. And so he would go back to visit his family and my mother and stuff. And when he would return, it was always a different home. Every year, it was always a different home because I would just get so far behind. It was easier and less expensive to get into a new place than it was to catch up the rears that I had going. And, one time I couldn't even work. The electric company wouldn't even work with me. I was trying to give them payments. They wouldn't even work with me. They disconnected me. And so we were living in a home. I could not get the electricity on. I had connected an inverter that connected to my car that I ran extension cords all through the house so we could have lights and television. And my son, when he'd get home from school, he'd come into a dark house. We didn't have any power or anything. And he'd just sit there until I came home and I could connect the car and give us power. And that lasted quite a while before I could get us into another place and somehow get the utilities on. So, you know, I've had the struggles, you know, and, you know, been through not having money and coming, like I mentioned, Detroit, you know, we're taught that, and a lot of it maybe is just our own limiting beliefs, but you think that you have to have a down payment. You think you have to have the credit right. You have to have, you know, your taxes to be able to, you know, prepared and show. And I didn't really have any of that stuff. And so, you know, I just counted myself out of real estate before I even really attempted it. And around the 2008, some people came to me and said, because they were giving loans to everybody at that time, and the bubble was amazing. But someone came to me and said, Dave, why don't you own a home? You could get a home. And I said, I can't get a home. Again, I counted myself out just from the mindset that I had. But I would browse Craigslist just for looking for anything, really, things on the free section or whatever, try to see if I could get something for my home. And I saw a seller finance on there. And so that was $1,500 to get in that deal. And I borrowed it from my brother and he gave me the $1,500 and I was able to get into my first seller finance. And so it was, you know, from that point where things started to shift from me. But up until that, and I didn't know anything about it. It just kind of like I stumbled upon it. And but up until that point, it was so many just evictions and struggle with the utility company, heating my house off the stove. You know, I've been there. I've done those things. So
crazy, crazy. So you said there was a mindset shift. Yeah. What was that mindset shift? I mean, just randomly running into the silly ad that allowed you to start thinking differently? Because, I mean, most people do believe that you have to have good credit and you have to have some down payment to buy a house. We're not even talking about investment properties.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the one thing, fortunately, our path seems... Somebody asked me before about mistakes I talk about, and we'll probably touch on it here. A lot of my expensive mistakes that I call my tuition along the way. You know, it's been a lot of mistakes, learning, trial and error, and very costly mistakes. But somebody asked me and was like, you know, would you change? Would you go back? Would you change it? Would you do things differently? And, you know, obviously, of course, we do something different, but I don't really have regrets because it got me. So our path gets us to where we are. And so where I'm at right now, I'm very happy with. And, you know, it was tough getting here. But I think the sales, being commissioned only, having that excellent mentor, I think that made a huge, huge contribution to, you know, who I am and allowed me to persevere through things and, you know, and getting into real estate and creative financing, being able to not take no for an answer or not let no's affect you and continue pushing forward to what you're after. So the mindset shifts, and I deal with that now because I try to help people, especially from where I'm from. And I try to help people, let them know that, you know, those things that we feel are obstacles and preventing us, you know, breaking those ideas are some of the hardest first steps that you have to take to just believe that you can do it, you know. And luckily for me, I stumbled into this seller finance, and, you know, and it didn't really just click right away, like, oh wow, I just did this with no money. It took a you know, another 10 years of struggling after that, but it started to, the pieces were coming together. And so, you know, with my background in sales and being able to not let no affect me and being able to just continue after the goal, and, you know, it changes, you know. And then once I did my first one and I started seeing the mindset changes, like, whoa, you know, this is doable. Like, wow. And so that home that I moved in to sell a finance, that was my personal home. That wasn't an investment property. It turned out to be, now that I know all the things, it was a value add. It was, oh, it was horrible. You know, I just learned recently, I was with my girlfriend at the time, and we ended up splitting up, and I didn't really ever know like what it was. You know, there was different things. Obviously, we were struggling at the time and stuff. And I just spoke to her not too long ago, and she told me, she said, you know, it was that house. She said, I just couldn't see myself living in that home. So it was, and I didn't know it, but it was, you know, it was a value add. That's, you know, nicely put, but it was a rundown home. That's why the owner was doing seller finance, but it was mine. it was mine. And I was, you know, I was happy to have it. And I didn't know it cost me my girlfriend at the time, but, you know, and so, yeah, so the mind shift was definitely a big deal. And it's one of the first steps that's the hardest to break.
One of the first steps that is hardest to break. How would one go about changing that mindset? You know, somebody, you know, I'm definitely experienced in a loss and business loss after our foreclosures a couple of years ago, where we had to start over and start the business over with really no money. And it took a long time, but how would you advise somebody to take that first step?
Well, in myself, you know, I've always been a reader, and I think, you know, it's reading is greatly underrated. And so I read everything, you know, the Robert Kiyosaki, the Rich Dad, Poor Dad. But there's recently now, if you see anything from Kiyosaki, he talks about a good friend of his named Ken McElroy. And he was a big influence in what I was doing. So I would just, along the way, I was always just trying to read and trying to better my, you know, my situation. And I wanted to be in real estate, didn't know how, figured I had to get, you know, the down payment and everything. Even after that seller finance, I still thought, you know, I had to get a down payment, had to get everything right before I finally do what I do today. But, you know, the reading here, just continually reading and reading and reading. But my newest video that I'm about to release is about, you know, you can read, you can have mentors, you know, you can do programs and all of that stuff. But if you don't take action, none of it's helping you, you know? And so it's really getting out there and facing, you know, the trial and error, the mistakes, because a lot of them, the stuff you're going to encounter, a lot of the mistakes, different situations, you're not going to find them in books. You're not going to find them until you're out there and actually doing it. And so you've got to be able to have that faith in yourself. You know, obviously you don't want to do anything foolishly. So you got to back that up with, you know, I did read a lot and, you know, and I try to take educated and, you know, reasonable risks. But at some point you've got to just, you know, push yourself out there and try to make something happen. Any business owner of any business has to face that and do that. And real estate is one. And, you know, and so first of all, again, going back to all the reading that I did, you learn about all the different ways. Like, you know, I have a book, you know, that I just recently put out and it touches base on the different ways that you can do this. So at first, coming from where I do and other people who are unfamiliar, the no money idea sounds crazy. It sounds contradictory to everything that we believe. But as you, you know, learn more, you'll start seeing that, you know, this is the way it's done. And as you go up in higher levels, you'll see they all do it. You know, up there, it's called leverage. You know, you learn to leverage stuff, you use other people's money, but that's the way it's done. But it's just not taught to us. And it's just not the first common thought about how to do real estate.
Well, yeah, the first question that most people who are considering development think is, how do I finance it? And usually what they do is they call up their banker and they say, can I get a loan? And then the banker tells them, well, you have to have at least 30%, 35% of this project cost as your equity. And that's when the conversation ends, because they're like, oh, I don't have nearly as much. And so that's a lot of things that we educate our owners about, is that there are ways to finance this. There are ways to find investors to get these things done. Take me back to the very first no money down deal that you pulled off. So you bought the house, or you got that. I can't even say, did you buy it technically, or you acquired the house, right? Yeah. But then beyond the house.
Yeah.
How did it proceed?
Let me take you back one before that. And so I was young, you know, I was in my 20s. And I walked into my father's house one day, and is where I grew up, went to school from and stuff. And he said, I'm selling the home. And I said, well, I want to buy it. And he laughed at me. He said, how the hell are you going to buy the house? He knew I didn't have the job. I didn't have anything. I was in anyone's mind, I wasn't in any position to buy a home, but I wanted it. It was my childhood home. I wanted it. And so I said, yeah, I'm going to buy it. And, you know, at that time we had the yellow pages, you know, I don't know how many people are going to remember those, but we had the yellow pages. And, you know, one of the traits that I think is strong in me and helped me when I went into sales is, you know, perseverance, you know, persistence. And I picked up that Yellow Pages, and I didn't know. Nobody had taught me. I just knew that I was determined of what I wanted to do. And so I was just going to lenders. I didn't know where to start. I just was going to lenders, and I was calling one after the next. And I at least heard 10 rejections, and they weren't just simple rejections. They were like, why are you wasting our time? They're like, do you have the down payment? Do you have good credit? And I was like, no, no, no. And they're like, why did you even call us? You know, I mean, how do you expect you're going to buy a home? But for some reason, I didn't stop. And I kept going to the next, just the next and the next. And I found a guy. He was into creative financing, creative structures. And he said, okay, let's see how we can make this happen. I said, great. Okay, let's see how we're going to make this happen. And he said, okay, so let's see. Your father owns the home. And he's like, so just to break this, you know, shorten this up for you, my father gifted me equity in the property, gave me the down payment. I still needed credit. So I went to my brother and I said, hey, I said, let's buy dad's home. And I said, I need you to come in for the credit, and dad's going to gift me the equity for the down payment. And so my father was wanting $80,000 for the house, but he said, since my brother and I was buying it, he'd give it to us for $60,000. And so my brother and I agreed to finance it still for $80,000. And so we went into this broke. I didn't have any money really at the time. And I was able to buy a home. I split the $20,000 with my brother. So I came out, you know, with a house and $10,000. I went into it with no money. And so that was my very first one. But again, I still didn't realize it. I still didn't know what I was doing. I still, at 2008, told somebody, I can't buy a home. I was still turning myself down, because those mindsets, those beliefs are really, really difficult to overcome and break. And even though I had done two, it still hadn't broken in me. You know, I was like, you know, 10 years later after that seller finance, I was still trying to get my pieces in line, trying to get my credit up, my down payment. You know, it took a while to tell you where it all clicked. I found an 8-unit apartment building. Now, I had already accumulated, and I had another apartment. I went partners with somebody who had another apartment, and there was one that was a few blocks down, and I wanted it so bad, but I didn't have any money. It took everything I had to up to this point in my life to get the one, and I didn't have that amount of time again to try to buy this one. I was just like, so at that point is when I started to pull everything together. And this is when I realized that I can do this. I need A and B to get C. And then I just started trying to put them all together. And I was able to. I was able to bring private money in. I was able to bring different things that I need. And I made it work. So I was able to get it. And from there, that's been my everything that I do for now. I just look to see, here's the property. What's it going to take? Whether it's hard money, private money, bank money, seller finance, whatever it is, I look to see what's best for that project and make it happen.
Okay. So when the way I understand it, the main premise behind creative, in quotes, financing is figuring out a way to get others to finance this deal for you.
Sure.
When you're asking investors to bring in money, when you're asking a seller to essentially give you a loan or to defer their payment, what do you offer back to them? What is the thing that you have that makes them interested?
Sure.
Because I think that could be replicated.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what I do. You know, I look at the deal. I call myself, you know, a lot of people say, you know, I'm a real estate investor and this and that. And, you know, I've got about 100 doors under my belt. I renovate, and I do all that myself. And I call myself a project manager. I find the project, I put the pieces together, like I previously mentioned. And, you know, it's got to be a win-win. Everybody that comes involved has got to win. Everyone's got to feel that, you know, they're doing good on this project. And I did a video recently. It said, if I was starting from zero, what are the first 5 steps that I would do to get where I am today? And one of those steps is, when you're looking for private money, you know, you get yourself out there and you find people that they don't have the time. You know, maybe doctors, you know, could be a dentist, could be anybody. I went to my optician and was talking to them, and they said, you know, I tried with somebody, didn't go well, and I ended up talking with her and her husband, and so it could be anywhere. But you want to find people. People want to be in real estate. They just don't have the time to be in real estate. And so me, it's full time. It's all that I do. So you just make it a win-win scenario. So when I look at whatever somebody's putting in, What are they contributing? And then, you know, you make sure that they're rewarded, you know, handsomely or, you know, well off enough that that it's attractive.
How do you figure that out, though? If you don't mind sharing that, of course.
Not at all.
But I'm just curious, like, what is that fair proposition? So you don't have any money, but you can find properties, you can manage properties, you are the hands-on, you get it to work.
Sure.
But like, where does it start? You bring in an investor, that doctor of yours. Yeah. What's a fair compensation to them?
Well, I'll tell you, I just did a deal and we're in the middle of it right now. I found 9 homes that was being sold all in, renovation budget, everything. Just, it was all in $1.1 million. I saw that I could sell those. I was going to break them up. They wouldn't break them up. They had to buy all 9. And so I saw in that area, and I hadn't flipped really anything at the time. I've been buying and holding, you know, everything that I've been accumulating. But this one seemed, the area seemed really hot. It seemed like a great area to break them apart and sell them. And so I knew what I needed. I knew I needed a certain amount from them. I knew I could get the rest over here. And you know, I'm at the point now where I use banks a lot. And because banks, they're going to require that you come up with so much, you know, down payment. But then their portion, their percentage, that's set. That's just a set. Doesn't have to be negotiated. That is what it is. And so I use that for the majority of it. And then what I need to satisfy the bank to be able to do this is when I bring in private money. And so on this particular deal, I needed 20%. I needed 20% of the whole deal with the renovation and everything. I needed 20%. So I told them, I said, listen, you're going to put up 20% of this deal. I'm going to give you 30% of the profits. So you're going to come in with 20, you're going to end up with 30% of the deal. You know, when you come in with, you know, I wasn't a capital investor, so I have room and flexibility there. You know, I took the loan from the bank in my name. I found the property. I'm renovating them. I'm getting them sold. I'm doing it all. So the other person is just putting up, you know, they gave up 20% and they're getting 30% for, you know, for that portion. So it was more than generous. It was a great return for their money. It's more than they're getting anywhere else. And we've already built a track record that they know that I do what I say. So the risk has already been, you know, we've passed that point already. So they were really comfortable. They're like, Dave, that's very fair. And thank you. And so that's how that last deal went.
Interesting. If you were to break it down to maybe the top 3 no money strategies that investors could use or that business people, I don't know, like, how do we describe ourselves? The people that are trying to get in real estate, what are the top 3 no money strategies that could be employed?
Sure. And a lot of people get it, you know, no money, you know, there's definitely money. You know, these properties are being bought with money. Just the whole no money premise is that they're not being bought with your money. You know, you don't have to come out of pocket, but you do have to be able to orchestrate somehow getting, you know, the monies for the purchase, whether it's, you know, I've used my brother in the past, you know, so going to a family member or, you know, when I wanted that 8-unit apartment building, which really made it all click for me, I didn't really know or you know, at that point I knew what I needed. And so I was like, who could I do this with? And so I just sent out 3 texts and I didn't know these people very well. I had, one was a local store owner that I just speak to when I go there and we kind of hit it off a little well. One was a person that I had bought my personal home from. And it was in an area that I moved to. I wasn't from that area. So when I needed something, since he lived there and he was a nice guy, he would, if I need an electrician, he'd say, here, this is the guy that I use. And that was the extent of our relationship. And then another guy that I reached out to was a contractor that I had used for a building to put a roof on. And we kind of hit it off and the energy was there between us. So I sat down and I sent a text out to these 3 people. And I said, I'm looking at getting a property. Would you be interested in hearing more about maybe partnering with me on it? And I sat there. This is the first time I did this. And I sat there and I was like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And then the texts came in from all 3 of them. All 3 of them said, yeah, I'd discuss it further with you. And I was like, oh, okay, great. And I all 3 of them had expressed interest. But for some reasons, two of them just didn't happen, but one of them it did. And we've went on to do a lot of stuff. So, you know, so a lot of people get it mistaken about no money, no money deals. And so how do you just get it with no money? Well, you don't. It takes money from somewhere. And so, but I did help somebody just get a triplex, and it's for someone from Detroit that's out here with me. He's my project manager, and he needed a property, and he found a triplex, seller finance, because this guy didn't have credit. He didn't have money for the down payment. He had four dogs. He wasn't going to be able to lease somewhere. So he found this triplex. It needed renovating that he was able to negotiate to do renovations as his down payment. So he actually came out of pocket with not a dollar, didn't need to borrow money, didn't need private investment. He talked to the seller, negotiated doing renovations, and they worked a time frame before it actually became transferred over to, you know, his name for the purchase. But he did the renovations as his down payment. Two units were already rented. One was vacant. He moved into the vacant one. He collected rent from the other two at the time he closed. He went in with no money and collected rent at the time of closing. You know, there's different structures. Seller finance is a good one, but it does take money. You're going to have to get some, well, you know, some hard money lenders these days are doing 100% if the deal is right. And I've used a hard money lender just recently, 100%. And, you know, if the ARV is big enough, you know, if the spread is good, if it's a great deal, you can find 100% loans that way as well.
What's ARV?
Good. Yeah. After renovated value. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So they'll look at it to see, you know, and this is for a value add, more than likely a fix and flip. So when you come and you analyze it and you put the budget of what it's going to, you know, what you're going to put into it, they'll come and look and say, okay, well, it'll be worth this much when you're done. And they'll loan you the money based on what it's valued at after your renovations. And if what you need capital wise is small enough compared to what it will be, you can get 100% financing that way as well.
Got it. So to your previous point, that fear of rejection, it's so freaking strong. The fact that you sent out those three text messages to the people that you barely knew, I mean, how many others would think about that and be like, forget it?
I almost did. You know, I've told you, I've counted myself out many times before I've ever actually did it. But, you know, I wanted this one so badly. I was like, you know, and what's there to lose? And again, I fall back heavily on my sales background, which I think has helped me. You know, I used to do cold calling, you know, for sales. I think my background helped me in that regard to overcome some of that initiating conversation. But I did. I sat there just like nervous and like, what's going to happen? And, you know, I knew the worst I could say is no, but I didn't want to hear no. You know, I didn't want to hear no. It was so important to me. But just the way that I presented it, I was just said, you know, would you want to discuss this further? Would you be interested in maybe coming in as a partner and just hearing more? And they were like, yeah.
In your example with that friend of yours who renovated the property and was able to get that seller financing, what I'm struggling with personally is how do you find these deals? Because to me, I'm like, why would a seller be interested in financing this purchase? Wouldn't they just want to get cashed out and move on? Like, why take that deal?
It's a great question. And, you know, for many reasons, a lot of people can get into a property, you know, low enough that, and, you know, like the two that we're talking about specifically, the seller finance I did where I lost my girlfriend, and then the seller finance that, you know, my project manager just did, neither of those homes would have qualified for a traditional loan. They wouldn't have. They wouldn't have qualified. They weren't, you know, the home that I went into didn't even have a kitchen, you know, so they wouldn't have qualified. So here they owned them. They were probably in them very, very little, probably didn't have much into it. And so by doing a seller finance, they can get a lot more money for their purchase that way. Some people, you know, don't want to take a capital gains hit for you know, they don't want to do that. They prefer just to get a nice standard return. A structured standard return, you know, on their money. So there's many different reasons, but I think the two that we've mentioned today, I think both of those were in the condition that they wouldn't have qualified for a traditional loan. And then also they get more money by doing the seller finance.
Okay. Do you have a tip for how to find deals like that?
Yeah, of course. You can, You can go to, Craigslist is where both of those deals came from in particular. But if you're looking for bigger deals, my son's out in California right now and he's trying to put together a deal for an apartment complex. It's $2.1 million. And I think he's negotiated 70% of that. So seller finance at 3%. And so, 3% today is amazing. And so he found that one off of a website called Crexy. C-E-R-X-I, Crexy.com. And you can go into Zillow. You know, a lot of people will say, they talk bad about Zillow for real estate investors and stuff. And one of my recent videos was the gold that I found on Zillow. I just labeled 5 deals that I did just in the last 12 months off from Zillow. And they were amazing, amazing deals. That 9-house package I told you was from Zillow. But you can go in Zillow and under keywords, type in owner finance, seller finance. You can go to Google, owner finance in your area, seller finance. And, you'll find them. You'll find them. They're search terms that you can put in Crexy. Or I think there's even a website, ownerfinance.com or something like that. They're out there.
Interesting. So it sounds like you're... son did thank you in the end since he stayed in California?
Yeah. It turned out really well for my son in California. So he did. He moved back to Detroit. He was going back to Detroit. And I said, that's fine. You can go wherever you want. I didn't finish high school. And he was the first one in our family to do so. And he's a first generation college student. And it went beyond that. He's a first generation high school graduate, his mother's side as well. And so I was just big about school. And I knew that I came out of it early, went into the work world. And I, what a mistake that was. And so I said, that's fine. You're just going to go to school. As long as you go to school, you can be there if you want. But he was there about a year and he was like, I don't know what I'm thinking. He's like, I want to come back. Cause he was living in Palm Springs, he went from Palm Springs to Detroit. And so I'm like, okay, kid, go ahead. That's what you're going to do. But since then, he's went off and he did his undergrad at USC, just got his master's at Pepperdine. So it turned out really well. It was a great move for my son. It really was.
Awesome. That's excellent.
Yeah,
that's
out excellent. In Sacramento right now trying to do real estate and stuff.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, a lot of the examples, a lot of the things that we discussed today are applicable to development world as well. There's so many opportunities out there. There's so much land out there that could be developed. It doesn't need to be a massive apartment building. It could be a single family home. It could be a duplex, a triplex, anything. It could be an RV park. But the concepts are the same. Are ways to finance deals. A lot of times the landowners would go in on the deal with you. My main business is focused on developing properties for landowners, and then we help them figure out ways how to finance them in the future. Some deals are bankable, some deals are not financed by a commercial bank. And that's when private money is useful. There's lots of hard money lenders that would do deals without a lot of equity. There are private lenders, as you mentioned, that are evaluating deals on the loan to value ratio. And as long as loan to value ratio is there, and as long as you could demonstrate that you could deliver that value in the future, then they could finance it. So a lot of parallels between what you do and what I do.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Interesting.
I have some land in California right now that we're working on, and we're bringing in an equity partner for, the capital to get to past the entitlement stage. And because entitlements are, I've yet to be able to find someone that loans money on entitlements. So that one seemed to, definitely needed the capital to get to the, past the entitlement stage. But then after that, we will have construction funding lined up and an exit strategy and all of that. But we're at the stage of, getting it entitled and permitted to be able to build. And that was, we were needing private money to come in. And so that's right. That's where we're at right now.
Yeah. In many cases, we're able to borrow up to 50% of the land value as a bridge loan just to get us to permits. So there is that path. Private lenders I've seen go up to 60-65% of the land value, of their appraised value. Commercial banks typically wouldn't go to more than 50%, but they typically need to see what the exit strategy is.
Okay.
And, their risk, if it's, especially if the land is free and clear, it's really easy to, relatively easy to borrow half of its value Now, it's not risk-free, obviously, because if you get down to your entitlements and all of a sudden market shift and you can't get a construction loan and you can't sell, then that loan is at risk. So you have to be mindful of that. But nonetheless, if you needed bridge financing, then in many cases, that could be an easier path.
Huh. You know, I wasn't steering that ship out there. I was, you know, I don't live in California anymore. And, you know, I'm a minor partner in that deal. And, you know, the majority partner was taking it over. And I've just been kind of letting that one ride and see how it goes. That one I'm passive on. And it's like the only real estate deal I have where I'm actually passive in. All the rest, I'm all hands on. And so, yeah, that one I'm just sitting back and watch. And, you know, they tried it. I didn't understand it. It was one of those things. I didn't understand it. You know, I didn't understand the whole developing the land and the process and the entitlements and, you know, the options. And all these were things I hadn't crossed before. And so I said, I'll just come in as, you know, I believe the team. I said, I believe you guys. I'm okay with you guys. I said, but I'm going to be a small one on this one. Let me just sit back and watch it and get a little experience here. I don't want to make the mistakes. I've lost enough. My tuition's been expensive. I didn't want it anymore. So I stick to what I know.
I believe that. I believe that. Yeah, stick to what you know is the good policy to follow, the good rule to follow. David, if somebody wanted to learn more, pick your brain about the process, learn about what you've learned in the past, how do they get in touch with you?
Sure. Thank you. So right now, I've just released a book called The No Money Millionaire. And it's how to build wealth through real estate without using a dime of your own money. And this is available right now to all of your listeners. You can go to nomoneymillionaire.com. And it's available for free right now as a digital download. It's also available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And you can find me anywhere, No Money Millionaire. You can Google No Money Millionaire. You'll find me on Facebook and all the social medias. I'm really easy to find, nomoneymillionaire.com.
No Money Millionaire. Awesome. Thank you very much, David. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.